night and each Saturday and Sunday at 6, WEBR brings back the best of radio's golden past. The acquisition of tonight's episode of The Life of Riley was made possible in part by a grant from the Bank of New York, providing complete banking services throughout Western New York.
And now, The Life of Riley. Fate, as we know by now, is usually lurking around the corner, ready to pounce on war worker Riley. And on this particular evening, Riley had dropped in at Witherspoon's drugstore to buy a cigar. And there, eating a sundae, was fate, in the person of little Waldo Benny, Riley's next-door neighbor.
Hiya, Waldo.
Hello, Mr. Riley.
You shouldn't be having an ice cream sundae before dinner. You'll lose your appetite.
Oh, I've already lost my appetite, so might as well eat. My wife's aunt, Miss Grimshaw, came back today from her vacation.
I know how you feel, Waldo. A man's home ain't his castle with his wife's relatives camping on him. You got your wife's aunt living off you, and I got my wife's Uncle Bucky. You got a dragon. I got a leech.
Is your Uncle Buckley really a leech? Why, he talks like a very successful man.
Oh, yeah, he's successful. He's a self-made has-been. 4 months ago, that grafter established a beachhead on my favorite Morris chair, and it looks like I'll never outflank him.
Yeah, we both have our troubles. Oh, yeah. Many's the time I've thought of running away from home.
I couldn't do that. If I ran away from home, I'd have to take my wife and the kids. Besides... besides, with the room shortage, I'd have to come home every night to sleep. So much trouble.
Well, I can't run away either. It's almost impossible to get a train ticket. I wish there was some way to get them to run away.
Yeah, I wish they'd elope. Imagine those two headaches getting hitched.
Yeah, living in an ivy-covered cottage.
Poison ivy. Hey, wait, Waldo. What month is this?
It's June.
Well, sure, June. June, the month of love. The season when the love bug flies around sinking its little fangs into people.
Riley, you mean that if the same love bug bit my aunt and your uncle, then...
Sure. If we could only find a love bug that ain't particular. A love bug that would bite anything. A love bug that's got rabies.
Riley, wouldn't it be wonderful if they fell in love and got married? If we could only arrange for them to meet in a romantic way.
Yeah, romantic. Let me see. Who's the most romantic guy I know? There's Cary Grant, Walter Pidgeon. I got it.
Me.
How did I meet my wife? In the movies.
Doesn't sound romantic.
Now, wait a minute. I ain't finished yet. It was dark in the theater, and by mistake, I sat right down on her lap. Believe me, that made a big impression on her. Waldo, a movie can be a very romantic spot. Just ask any sailor.
Riley, this is fate. Tonight, I have to take my aunt to the movies. I take her every Friday night.
Well, that's swell. I'll take Uncle Buckley. What theater?
The Corral.
Where they show those old westerns?
Yeah, my aunt loves cowboy pictures.
Well, I can understand that. She's built like a horse. Okay, now listen. In the Corral, the loges is usually empty. They cost a dime. You sit in the first row loges with your aunt, and then me and Buckley will come along, And I'll fix it so Buckley sits next to the old maid. Oh, excuse me, Waldo.
That's all right. Go ahead and say it. I love to hear it.
So he'll sit next to the old moose. In the dark, their elbows will touch, and then we're all set. After the show is over, we'll get lost in the crowd. They'll be left together. One thing will lead to another. And the next thing you know, they'll be married. And we'll be free.
Oh, I hope the love bug finds them in the dark.
Well, sure, don't gophers meet in the dark and they get married. Uncle Buckley.
Yes?
On a June night like this, did you ever get thinking about love?
Yes, I'd love a smoke. Do you happen to have 3 spare cigars?
No, all I got is 1 cigar, Uncle Buckley.
Fine, you can owe me the others.
Hey, Peg, guess who's back in town?
Who, dear?
Waldo Benny's aunt, Miss Grimshaw. Now, there's a real swell girl.
Oh, Riley, I'd hardly call Waldo's aunt a girl.
Well, she ain't so old. She's still got all her hair. I mean, she's got a beautiful head of hair.
Mm-hmm. She dyes it.
So what? What's the look matter as long as you got brains, charm, glamour, personality? Am I right, Uncle Buckley?
Pig, is there any more baked ham in the icebox?
Uncle Buckley, I'm talking about a wonderful girl and all you can think of is baked ham. Remember, there are other things in life besides baked ham.
True. There's baked veal, baked pork, baked mutton.
Oh, yes. Oh, Cupid will never be able to shoot an arrow into you. Instead of a heart, you got an extra stomach.
Well, I better dress if I want to get to my club meeting on time. What are your plans for tonight, Riley?
Oh, I think I'll drop into a movie. Uncle Buckley, how's about going to the movies with me?
No, thanks, though. I think I'll spend the evening just resting here in this Morris chair.
Well, don't you think Morris deserves a rest, too?
An earthquake couldn't move me out of the house tonight.
But, Uncle Buckley, I'll pay for your ticket.
Where's my hat and change? Come on, Riley. We'll be late. Come on, honey. Hello,
Riley,
honey.
Boy, let's go. It's almost 8.
Yes, the main feature at the Plaza goes on in 20 minutes.
Well, the Plaza's okay, but look who's playing at the Corral. Tex McCoy, Snorty Evans, Skipaway Harrigan, and Carmen Cedar, the Mexican sheepdog.
Now, look here. I will not have my intelligence insulted by watching a horse opera. I'll shoot pool instead.
But if we go to the Corral, we'll find out if it's true what everybody in the neighborhood is saying.
What's that?
Well, they're saying that this Western star looks exactly like you.
Which star? And don't say the sheepdog.
No, they say you look like Tex McCoy.
Oh, preposterous.
I do? Well, sure. Huh? You know, it might be a break for you if it's true. When a guy looks like a star, he can get a job as a double.
Yes, I can see myself now in a 10-gallon hat, chaps and spurs, swaggering into a prairie saloon.
Okay, Buckley, okay. You can dream all you want, but you don't have to walk bow-legged. Come on, Tex Turnbull.
Yes.
If we hurry, we can still see all the 4 features. Come on, Uncle Buckley. I see 2 seats down in the first row, right next to the little man with the good-looking girl there.
I prefer to sit here towards the back.
No, let's sit near the front. You can't hear in the back.
Yes. See, that is strange. I don't hear any dialogue.
Oh. Oh, no wonder they're showing silent movies.
Quiet, you. You're making so much noise, I can't read the subtitles.
Oh, I'm sorry, pal. Come on, Uncle Buck. Let's get those seats down front next to the... Oh, somebody beat us to them. They take it.
Well, then let's sit here.
Oh, no, we can sit down here in the second row.
Oh, very well, but let's sit somewhere.
All right. Yeah. Waldo.
Yeah.
It's me, Riley. Behind you. Yeah, everything's all set. Buckley's sitting right next behind your head.
Okie doke, Riley.
Waldo, shh.
Oh, Riley, isn't that Waldo Benny sitting in front of us? I recognize his ears.
So it is. Well, fancy meeting you here, Waldo.
Hello, Hello, Mr. Riley. Hello, Mr. Turnbull.
How do you do?
This is my aunt, Miss Grimshaw. Auntie, this is Mr. Riley's uncle, Mr. Turnbull.
Oh, charmed, I'm sure.
How do you do?
Well, Uncle Buckley, light up my cigar and relax.
Oh, what's happening, Riley? Is that Tex McCoy?
Yeah, can't you see?
No, Miss Grimshaw's hat is in the way. Riley, I'm not accustomed to viewing movies through a fruit orchard. I'm going to ask you to remove her hat.
Oh, no, don't bother her.
Pardon me, Miss Grimshaw. Would you mind removing your hat?
I'd rather not, if you don't mind.
But I do mind.
Quiet.
Oh, this is absurd. I came here to see Tex McCoy. What's happening now, Riley? Is that...
Wait a minute, Buckley.
Tell me, Riley. Sounds like a chase.
No, they're just kissing. Oh, boy. Boy, look at that.
What, Riley? What?
Oh, boy. Oh, gee.
Riley, what's happening?
Huh? Nothing. They're just kissing.
That's a fine way to see a movie. If that woman doesn't remove her hat, I'll call an usher.
No, I'll change seats with you.
No, I will not give her the satisfaction. I will not.
Oh, what? Go get him, Tex. Faster. Come on,
Riley. Giddy up, Tex. Is that Tex? I can't see.
Yes.
He's on a horse. What's going on?
The horse ran away with the girl.
Faster, Tex.
Come on, Tex, old boy. Giddy up there, horse.
Oh, I can see now, Riley. Oh, what? Oh, confound that hack. What's happening?
Tex is catching up to her. Now they're together.
Yes. What now?
Now they're...
I know. They're kissing each other.
No, the horses are kissing each other.
Look, I've had enough of this. Miss Grimshaw, for the last time, will you please remove your hat?
I will not. Mind your own business. Maybe you better take your hat off, Andy.
Shut up, Waldo.
Madam, I demand that you remove that basket of fruit from your head. Who do you think you are, Carmen Miranda? Please, Uncle Buckley.
Sir, if you don't stop annoying me, I'll call an usher.
You'll call an usher. I see I'll have to take matters in my own hands.
Oh, Buckley, girl, don't touch me.
There, now. Now I can see.
How dare you? Give me back those grapes.
Now, let's not lose our tempers. We can fix things up. Waldo, you come sit back here. Buckley, you sit next to Miss Grimshaw.
That's a good idea.
You are not, Waldo. I refuse to stay in the same theater with this elderly, juvenile delinquent.
What?
Come, Waldo. We're going home.
Quiet!
And they call this a silent movie.
In a moment, we'll return to Riley the Matchmaker. And now back to the life of Riley. It's the morning after the millinery disaster that took place in the movie theater. Riley has just about given up hope of promoting a romance between Uncle Buckley and Waldo's aunt, Miss Grimshaw. Right now, we find Riley leaving his house on his way to work, when once again, Fate, alias Waldo Binney, beckons to him.
Riley?
Oh, is that you, Waldo? Where are you?
Here.
Where?
Oh, not up there. Down here. I'm in the cellar.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll lie down on the lawn here so as I can see you better. Yeah. What are you doing in the cellar, Waldo?
Oh, this is laundry day.
Oh, that aunt of yours makes you do the washing too, huh?
Yeah, laundry's so busy these days. I've already washed your clothes. Now I just have to tear some buttons off.
Oh, Waldo, we sure flopped on that marriage scheme of mine. Guess I'm kind of stupid, Cupid.
I'm afraid I'm not much help on romance. You see, my wife and I didn't have a courtship. She only married me out of spite.
Well, who was she trying to spite?
Me.
You know, when I was going steady with Peg, she got sore at me once. I fixed things up. I sent her a fancy letter apologizing. And it worked.
A letter? It's that it, Riley.
Yeah, now all we gotta do is to get your aunt to write Buckley a note saying she's sorry.
Oh, never do that. She despises it.
Waldo, I just had a brainstorm.
Yeah?
We can have Buckley get a letter from your aunt without her writing it.
Well, how?
You write it.
Oh, no, that's forgery.
No, it ain't. Anyway, wouldn't you rather spend the next 20 years in San Quentin than with your aunt?
Well, if you put it that way.
First, meet some of her station. Then write something about how she's sorry she was groomed to such a distinguished champ like Buckley. Not a fancy flush like that.
Well, I can do that. And then what?
They soak the letter in perfume and paste on a cancer stamp and put it in my mailbox.
Riley, you're a genius.
Sure. Love bugs is okay, but a little conniving don't hurt neither.
Hello, dear.
Howdy, Tex Turnbull.
Oh, please. Do not remind me of last night's depressing incident.
Okay. Hey, yes, Uncle Buckley.
Yes?
Here's a letter for you. And it's perfume, you little rascal.
Oh, well, thank you.
Huh?
Well, this is adding insult to injury.
Who's it from?
That grape armor. Miss Grimshaw.
Well, what does she say? Read it.
Oh, listen to this, Bosch. My dear Mr. Turnbull.
Clever woman. She sure knows how to write.
Go on, Uncle Buckley.
Please accept my sincerest apologies for my thoughtless behavior in the cinema. It was disgraceful, but I trust that a distinguished gentleman like you will forgive an impetuous girl's folly.
Oh, folly's girl.
Well, what else does she say, Uncle Buckley?
Hoping that our next meeting will have pleasanter results, I remain sincerely yours, Augusta Grimshaw.
Well, isn't that a nice apology?
Okay, Uncle Buckley, here's a pen and paper.
What for?
Well, you're going to answer her, ain't you?
Yes, I'm going to answer her. Here, this is my answer.
Don't!
You tore her letter up.
Yes. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A woman pours her heart out, and you make confetti out of it. And then Waldo, he said, this is my answer. He tore the letter up. Look, here's the pieces.
Oh, this is dreadful. I'm all upset. I think we'll have another soda.
Listen, Waldo, I didn't ask you to meet me here in the drugstore so you could get charged with charged water. We got work to do. You see this stationery here?
Yeah. Buckley Turnbull, Esquire. Oh, your uncle's stationery. You mean...
Yeah, yeah, it's our last hope. Where's your fountain pen?
Right here.
Now, let's see. Start. Gentle. No, she ain't my gentle.
Well, how about dear lovely lady?
Yeah, that's romantic. Dear lovely lady. Yeah. Now, all I gotta do is write the letter. Last night,
was conscience-stricken.
Yeah, was conscience-stricken,
at my reprehensible behavior.
Rotten behavior. There's an ink shortage, you know.
I humbly implore your forgiveness.
Forgiveness?
Must confess.
Confess that,
I have long gazed upon you from afar with worshipful eyes.
Gazed afar, worshipful eyes. Boy, this paint pen ain't living today.
May I soon express my admiration in person?
Express admiration in person. You're truly...
No. Your admirer.
Your admirer,
Buckley Turnbull.
Oh, Buckley Turnbull. Gee, I never thought I'd be able to write a love letter like this all by myself. Now listen, Waldo. You go on home, and in 5 minutes, I'll deliver this letter in person.
Is your aunt home? May I ask to inquire?
Why, yes. Come in.
Well, who is it?
Oh, it's Mr. Riley, Auntie.
Well, shut the door in your face.
But he has a letter for you.
A letter? For me?
Yeah, I got it right here. It's from Mr. Turnbull.
Turnbull? I refuse to have anything to do with that scoundrel. Give me that letter.
Gee, I don't think it's going to work. Why, she hates him.
Oh, you can't tell. On the desert, even hot water tastes cool. Your aunt is a desert, and Buckley's a hot water pig. Look through the keyhole and see what she's doing.
Why, she's reading it. She's beginning to smile. It's working. Listen. Now she's primping in the mirror. Putting lipstick on her face.
That face don't need lipstick. That lipstick needs a new face.
She's coming out.
Oh, Mr. Riley, why are you standing on the doorstep? Come in, come in.
After you, Miss Grimshaw.
Oh, that was a very interesting letter you brought me.
Oh, I'll say it was. I think, was it?
Yes, it seems I misjudged your uncle.
Well, what did he write in the letter, if I'm not too personal?
Well, he apologized for last night, and... Well, I can't tell you anymore. Some things are sacred.
Well, I guess now you'll be seeing a lot of each other.
Well, I would like to have him over to the house sometime.
Oh, he's a very busy man. But he's always free all day.
Of course, I'd like to know more about Mr. Turnbull. You know, a young girl can't be too careful nowadays.
Oh, Uncle Buckley's a great guy. He'd give me my shirt off his back.
But I do like to be sure.
Well, there's only one way to be sure. Meet him in the flesh.
Oh, no, there's another way. First, I shall have his handwriting and his letter analyzed. I'm a great believer in the science of graphology.
Oh, that way you learn all about Buckley.
Why, certainly. Professor Buckstone is coming over tonight. He's the famous handwriting expert for the Tribune. I'll phone him to bring his microscope.
Ain't that a hot one, Waldo? She's going to analyze the handwriting. But that's my handwriting. And you know me, I'm good, kind, thoughtful, intelligent, and especially modest. Buckley's all set now.
Now, Professor, you sit right here near the light.
Thank you, this is fine.
Waldo, you and Mr. Riley sit on the couch.
Okay. Now, let's go, Professor. I know exactly what you're going to say.
Then you know more than I do, my friend. Now, if you let me have the letter that you want analyzed.
Here you are, Professor.
H.
Fellow who wrote that got a nice character, huh? Hey, what's the matter?
Please, no interruptions.
Well, Professor, what do you see?
I see the man who wrote this doesn't cross his T's. And he only dots an occasional I, which can mean only one thing. Downright laziness.
Oh, me?
No, your Uncle Buckley.
Oh.
This is not the handwriting of a man who works.
Both don't work.
Oh, what else do you see?
I see gluttony. These fat, round O's were evidently made by a man who lives for food alone.
This letter was not written by a pig.
Shall I continue, Miss Grimshaw?
Yes, yes, by all means. I must know the words.
Yeah, let's see now.
It's a lie. This expert pony don't know what he's talking about.
Riley, you get her a man.
Well,
please, Professor, continue. Pay no attention to Mr. Riley.
Now I shall sum up. The heavy downward stroke of the P's, the inverted loops of the Y's, and the pronounced curlicues on the W's can mean only one thing. The man who wrote this letter is a bum.
Who are you calling a bum? Okay, Professor, you asked for it. Step up.
Just a minute, Mr. Riley. I admire your family loyalty to your uncle, but I...
My uncle? Who cares about that bloke? It's me I'm worrying about.
Riley!
Because that's my handwriting.
What? Your handwriting?
Well...
Oh, I see it all now. You wrote that letter. It's a plot. A young girl isn't safe nowadays in queers like you and Turnbull. Mr. Riley, leave my premises.
Okay, I'm going. But one more crack out of that professor and I'll knock both his eyes.
Don't go away, folks. The Rileys will be back in just a moment.
Give me that letter.
What letter?
The one that Miss Grimshaw sent me. I hope you still have the pieces. I must answer it immediately.
Now he wants to answer. No.
I know why. He found out Miss Grimshaw owns that property on the corner of 5th and Market Street.
Why, Margaret, I am not in the least bit interested in the fact that this adorable lady has clear title to a three-story building assessed at $50,000. I merely want to answer out of common courtesy.
Well, I got the pieces here, but take my advice. Don't answer it.
Why not?
Look at that handwriting of hers. You see the inverted loops of disease? The upward-down strokes of the G's?
Yes?
And her commas got long, wiggly tails. In my opinion, this dame is brute.
Why, Riley, just a few hours ago you were praising Miss Grimshaw to the skies. I don't understand you.
Well, I don't want to go into no details. But from now on, I'm going to write all my letters with a typewriter.
Join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. The Life of Riley is produced and directed by Irving Bracker.